Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
That's right. Got to get it on. Have to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. I hit them all? Oh, good. Okay. So, obviously, I'm Drew. He's Adam. He's not here. And here's why we're starting. Ever since you got a load of us driving through New England, the reality of our life together, we decided we sort of bring the real component more into our podcast. Like, whatever's really going on is exactly what you're going to hear about. So here's what's going on today. There's a fucking traffic jam in Los Angeles, like the likes of which, particularly from the part of Los Angeles, which is called the San Gabriel Valley, where both Adam and I were coming in from this morning, like nothing I have ever seen. I literally was driving through neighborhoods where the traffic was backed up into neighborhoods in the hillsides around Southern California, people trying desperately to get around. I had left for work, for this work, really early. Well, I have different works. I left really like literally 45 minutes before, you know, a half hour before I normally do, because I thought I'd hang out with Chris and, you know, and Max Zapata and Gary. And I'll get early. I was up early, whatever. And got here 15 minutes late. It took me an hour to get here. No one takes about 20 minutes. And Mr. Carolla is now in a new home coming from a certain part. He's working on a project that's in a certain part of the town where I live too. And he's stuck. And there's an app called Waze, gentlemen, that Gary recommended I look into this morning that, by the way, kind of helped me today. Mostly I think I helped other people. I was just like, stand still, sending information out about where traffic is horrible everywhere else. I figured if it can't help me, at least I can help somebody else. And finally, it did sort of get me to the right zone, and I was able to get here. If I'd stayed on the service streets,
it's one of those things that doesn't work so well when you're already fucked and in traffic.
But
if you turned it on at your house, it might have gotten you around it somehow.
Might have. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Today, I don't think.
Unbelievable. So actually, Matt, the Porcelain Punisher, is literally navigating, right? He's navigating Adam in from wherever the hell he is right now, but he'll be here in just a couple minutes. So let me get some business out of the way before we get started. So at least get that over with. You guys know I'm enthusiastic about stamps.com, so this is an easy one for me. Over 2 billion letters and packages sent using stamps.com. 2 billion. So if you're not amongst the billions and billions served, why not? It's easy. It's convenient. You can buy and print U.S. official U.S. postage from your own computer. As I've always said, my wife was an early adopter, and I always thought it was like – I figured she was doing something wrong because it seemed too easy, or there had to be some hidden charge in there. No. No, not only a hidden charge, there's a special offer where they will send you a digital scale for free, which calculates the exact postage for any letter or package and the class of mail, and $55 of free postage. I mean, just think about this. What's the difference between postage and actual paper money? It's the same thing. You will print out $55 of postage on your computer and then use it. Here it is, the special offer in order to get it, to get the scale and get the free postage. It's a $110 bonus offer. Use the promo code ADS. So go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in ADS, that is stamps.com, promo code ADS. Still don't see Mr. Carolla out there. So have you and I'm looking at Chris and Gary. Have I had a chance really to talk to you guys about our adventures in New England?
No, we haven't spoken about it much at all.
Mike August, famous Mike August, is insane. He tried to kill us multiple times.
No way.
Yes.
Mike. I've driven with Mike August. I know exactly.
He's not an insane person. He's an insane driver. And particularly in New England where things are already kind of dicey.
Coming from you, that's kind of –
I'm an aggressive
serious.
Driver.
You and I are pretty aggressive.
Yeah, I'm aggressive. He's insane.
That U-turn that you guys took on the show.
Yes.
I relived it because that he's done that with me too, and I just got
into traffic.
Flashbacks.
Yeah, he just we were literally in Newport, Rhode Island. We got stuck in this very trafficy thing. There was like a cop in this one area sitting there. Do you hear us talking about it?
No, he did it with the cop. Like there's a cop
well,
by
the
us
cop,
too.
But the cop was why he didn't do the first aggressive move. So he moved past the cop to do something.
That's exactly what he did with me.
To endanger our lives. Just like imagine you're on a freeway, a highway, and somebody just does a U-turn into traffic in the middle of the street. That's basically what he did. And everyone reacted and I think my wife said she shit herself, didn't she? And didn't.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah, okay, good. So that's kind of – did that come through on the air?
It's nice. Oh, it did.
I'll be sure to share that with her. All right. So, again, a couple things. There's some upcoming events. Oh, here's Mr. Crowell. Evening with Dennis Prager, Adam. San Bernardino Theater for the Performing Arts, September 21st. There's a Mangria bottle signing in Upland. That should be fun. At Liquorama. Jesus. What's wrong with your life? That is this Saturday at 6:30
p.m. Whoa, man. There's – the fine people of Upland.
Liquorama.
And by the way,
Liquorama.
Yeah, man.
Sounds like a new porn that they
listen, it's not only the people from Upland, it's the folks from Downland and Overland that are welcome as well to the bottle signing.
And Redlands and everywhere else.
That's right. I work for a living. Okay.
What the fuck is with traffic this morning? Could you believe it?
Oh, well, what happened and I don't know, Drew and I were coming from the same direction. Mm-hmm. There was a fatality.
Oh, is that what that
on
was?
The 134 freeway. And there's this – it's great being a human being because I was up early this morning and I was negotiating driving the kids into school because I was up early. And then I heard about this motorcycle fatality. Oof. On the 134, and I thought, first impulse, first thing is always like, boy, that guy's not getting to work, that's a shitty morning. And then I thought, second one is, of course, how does this affect me?
Of course.
Like, which direction is it going on the 134? Mm-hmm. And then it's going westbound. So I go, oh, not going to affect me. So I go right out of some 23-year-old just bought it to, well, it's not going to affect me. And thing about the motorcycle fatality is it's especially there's it the motorcycle fatality is not an 86-year-old with stage 5 lymphoma cancer whatever. No. It's 21-year-old. Yeah. It's 27-year-old. Yeah. It's 31-year-old. It's a young man.
Yeah.
The other thing is
not chick either.
No, it's usually a dude. It's
usually.
Yeah, I've seen some chicks. Well,
the fatalities always a dude.
Oh, because the dude is doing something usually.
Right. Yeah.
It is not the Hell's Angel on the meth run because it's 7:15 in the morning. This guy's a commuter,
right?
So it's not the 80-year-old dude. It's not the Hell's Angel on the meth run. It's the guy who's just looking to get to work and avoid traffic, ironically causing traffic with his corpse. But I had this thing where I went, all right, well, I'm going to miss that because it's going the other direction. And then my next thought was, 2 hours later when I have to turn around and come back and meet Drew, I will be into that.
Oh.
And then I thought, that gives them – I got a good 2.5-hour window before I need to come back. They're going to have this cleaned up in 2.5 hours, but it's a crime scene.
Oh.
I mean,
somebody cut somebody off or something.
Theoretically, if there's a body, then there's a crime. And I guess if you're driving and you're the guy who clipped him and you're on too much prescription medication or something, then we got manslaughter here.
You have manslaughter either way. Involuntary manslaughter.
I guess. But, look, you're not going to do any time if your wife was changing lanes safely and this guy was trying to zip through traffic and clipped her and blah, blah, blah. Either way, I used to ride a motorcycle and could have happened a million times. There's a sense, and you say it's interesting. You say it's always a male. It's always a male. Well, you go, okay, percentage-wise, there's 8.5 guys riding for every 1.5 chicks. And I don't mean 1.5 chicks. I mean one fat lesbian. It's good stuff. No, I mean 8.5 dudes. There's probably out here in Southern California, as I see, I take note when I see the woman riding the motorcycle, but more and more these days.
Yeah.
And it's probably about 10% of the, 10-15% of them are women. But boy, those chicks are riding scared.
They're not hauling ass with their head tucked under the.
Right. You know, they're sitting there riding that motorcycle like, kind of like you see a guy, if you ever take a look at Officer and a Gentleman.
That's a timely reference.
Mm-hmm. And you see Richard Gere, he's the lone wolf. Guy who's riding onto the naval base, and the first credits at the beginning.
The old
is just,
guy that plays the lawyer in Chicago?
Him.
He was the young one?
Yeah, young. He's the guy who's just riding onto the naval base, and they show him riding his motorcycle onto this naval base. And
doesn't Tom Cruise do that in Top Gun, too?
Yeah, it's a convention. Except for I know Richard Gere doesn't know how to ride a motorcycle. And the reason you got a pad for your coffee there, Drew. The reason I know it's there. The reason I know Richard Gere doesn't know how to ride a motorcycle is because they show him at a stop sign at the beginning, and then they show him riding away from the stop sign with both legs out in the air, like outriggers. And guys who know how to ride motorcycles don't put both feet down at a stop sign. They put one foot down. They put their, they put their right foot down. And then they pop their right foot up while they're still not moving and let the clutch out and take off. So it's a kind of a motion where you're letting the clutch out as your foot's coming on. But you don't ride through the intersection with both feet out. If you ever see a guy riding a motorcycle with both feet out through the intersection, like, no, they eventually get on the pegs, but he gets through the intersection with both feet out. You go, that fucking guy doesn't know how to ride a motorcycle.
Probably you'd say he'd never been on one before.
Or this is his first week. You can always tell, as we talk about all the time, everybody's whatever they're doing, riding a motorcycle, skiing, throwing a baseball, swinging a baseball bat, swinging a golf club, throwing a boxing punch, whatever it is, avoiding a boxing punch. The guys that have the 10,000 hours doing it are the guys who don't look like they're trying. So that's the whole thing. It looks like almost no motion, no effort, grunt. And in movies, it's always about the big effort. You know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting. The same thing for me parlays into why I can't watch medical shows. Because when you're in work in an emergency room every day, it's all routine. You know?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And if you get excited about something, the nurse is like, hey, what the fuck's up with you?
Right.
If you go, get a D5W, hang it, the leader of a
D5 Harris. It's that.
Give me the 18-gauge lift. It's like.
Right, right.
No, fucking this. You'd go, hey, usual protocol for this guy's do it. And you'd walk in and you'd do it. And it's like.
Yes.
It's because that's what you do all day. And if all this, then you'd blow a fuse. The nurses would punch you in the face. You know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
They don't realize when they're making things, although, you know, maybe it's not dramatic, but.
But it's new for the director and the actor to them, so it must be like this.
No, they're trying to amp everything up. But the reality is the guys that seem like they're trying the least and expending the least calories are just the guys that are most casual about it. If you ever see.
And the most professional. It's professionally.
If you ever see professional boxers skip rope, they barely look like they're moving.
Yeah.
They don't even. They don't look like they're trying.
In a weird way, that's what makes somebody a skilled professional.
Yeah, just millions and millions of reps.
Airline pilots, are they freaking out as the planes?
Right. Right. So the chicks ride the bikes. Like, they're a little bit scared to be on the bike, which is the respect for the bike. The bike is basically a gun. It's a weapon. It can kill you. You must ride it accordingly. And I, of course, you know me. When I had my bike, I was flying through traffic and trying to, you know, scoot this and scoot that, you know, just get past. And you get into that mode where the whole reason, especially in L.A., the reason you got the bike is to cut 15 minutes off the commute.
Well, I was going to say, there's a weird sexist thing I'm about to say in this, too. I don't see the women doing that.
Doing what? In the car, you mean?
No, in their bike, trying to use it to cut time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's kind of a sex. You know, it's kind of like.
No, it's not sexist.
No, that's your building bridges stuff again. Guys are out there, you know what I mean?
Women, I find when it comes to the bike, their comfort level is not what the, you know, when I owned motorcycles, when I got on a new bike, it was, you know, 2 days of I'll take it easy, and then it was game on.
Yeah.
And the comfort level was off the hook.
But in reality, the women are much more, their reality assessment is much better.
Yeah, and they don't care about being late.
Well, that's the other. That's the sexist part.
They don't have that crazy hustle gene that, even if it's for zero reason, you know, it's like I did a show in Corona a couple days ago. I had a glass or two of Mangria, so I threw the keys to Mike to drive home.
Oh,
he drove home from Corona.
Scarier. I'd rather have you on three glasses of Mangria.
On a Sunday night like a fucking possessed maniac.
Hold on, Mike maniac? Really?
Yes. And the thing about it is to get home at either 10:30 or 10:39 or 10:41, like on a Sunday night. Like, right. You know, we weren't making a flight. It was just he wanted to get home before 10:30, and we left at 9:30. And that was – he drove. I mean
– I would seriously rather have you on three glasses of Mangria than him driving.
Possessed.
Seriously.
Possessed.
No kidding.
Possessed. Yeah, you know. You know what he's like.
Yes, I've seen what he's capable of.
I am the greatest passenger ever for him because I just sit in the passenger seat and just think, well, hit what you want. He never hits anything. But I do – I worry
it's
about
the cops.
It's
one thing if he's driving a – Nah, that's his problem. If one thing, if you're driving a Lamborghini, but he's usually driving an SUV or something.
Yeah.
That's what drives me insane.
Yes.
It's like, at least drive a sports car that can handle this, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. But that's – now, look. That's how guys – look, he doesn't like cars, I don't think.
He doesn't?
He doesn't drive a high-performance car. He doesn't – he just – he's a dude who wants to get to where he's going – 7%
now.
Faster than he could have otherwise, and thus we drove home from Corona averaging 91 miles an hour. And by the way, I've done those trips, as you know, from Merced, from...
But you're driving, though.
Fresno. Yeah. No, on the way home.
With him?
Oh, yeah. And I've driven all the way back from, like, Fresno and Sacramento with him.
When we went to Santa
him.
Barbara, was he driving? I remember you guys had the radar detector and stuff, and I remember you were in the front. I remember you were driving.
I usually drive out. He usually drives back, and we always bring the radar detector because of the chicken shit tickets. And by the way, best fucking $288 or $310 or whatever it is you're ever going to spend, because that's the price of one chicken shit speeding ticket. And if you do any traveling, and you go to Amazon, click through, baby. Click through the Amazon link at AdamAndDrDrewsShow.com. And everyone always says, what do we use? We use the Valentine one, and I don't know why. It seems to work well for us.
It's the greatest one ever.
Is that right?
Yeah, it is.
Gary has one.
I've had a bunch of shitty ones. This one has arrows. It tells you if the guy's in front of you or behind you. It's a simplistic piece of technology, and it's really expensive. But it'll pay for itself 50 times.
But I thought once it goes off, that means you're caught.
No.
That's only on laser, which is only in the city. On the highway, they use radar, and if their radar's on, this thing will pick it up a couple miles
away. I'm just curious. Yeah. How about if there's an aircraft? Is that also a radar thing, or are they timed?
Well, that's timed based on the balloons they put on those things over the freeway.
Yeah. So it all depends. But it really cuts down dramatically if you like to haul ass like we do. And by the way, there was a... study, a guy sent me a Twitter, and then some guy did a Canadian whatever, and you'd like this, Drew. Mm. It turns out speed limits can be dangerous because, and as you know, and as I've always known, and I've always said, and it drives me nuts how fucking stupid we are. People drive at a speed that they feel is safe and sort of... pertinent. And pertinent isn't quite the right terms, but it's not snowing outside. It's sunny. It's a Sunday.
Context appropriate.
I'm not in a fog bank. I'm driving a new car with new tires.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have an expired license. You know, there's many things that factor into your speed.
Yeah.
But people, 85% of them, even with a posted speed limit, will just essentially drive about the speed that is about the speed. So
they kind of drive what's around them, really.
No, what I'm saying is this. If you take 100 people and you go, the speed limit is 50, yeah, and you go here to Vegas, some of those people are going to go 90. Mm-hmm. Some of those people are going to go 50. But 85% of those people are going to go like 72 miles an hour. They're just going to drive.
Speed. The reasonable speed.
It feels the right speed to them. This is the speed I should be driving based on a bunch of conditions.
Yes.
And that's how human beings are.
Yeah.
We all know, and you'd know it, if you were driving in the car with someone who was going 45 on the way to Vegas, you'd be going, hey, pick it up, man.
Yeah.
And if the guy was going 125, you'd go, reel it in a little bit. But if he's going 85, you'd be going, okay. That okay speed, that seems to be a universal thing.
Okay.
So that almost all humans arrive at about that speed.
So
why shouldn't we? We're all just human beings. There's always the 10% who's speeding and the 10% that's dragging, or in this case, the 7.5%. But 85% of us will basically go about the same speed for the condition. That's what the speed limit should be.
It should be.
Because when the speed limit is 20 miles an hour slower than that, you have people trying to get around people. Mm-hmm. There's much more danger in trying to get around people when we're driving home in the middle of the fucking night from Fresno and someone is doing the posted speed limit of 55 or 65 and we're in a loaded Jag and there's 250 miles to go and we're going to be doing 85. We're getting around you. We're working it to get around you, which is a safety issue. Mm-hmm. Yes. So speed it up in many places as a safety issue. And again, I would ask this. Do you think it'd be safer if it was here to Vegas and it was 45? No, because people would be passing people that were going 45 at a very dangerous speed. Anyway, speaking of stupidity, you know how I like to complain about the height of the goalpost?
You like to complain?
And the ball sailing over the top of the uprights.
We had a couple.
And how they won't raise them.
A couple of those incidents this weekend.
We had Monday night.
Yeah.
Last week, we had the first Monday night game. Then we had a big college game. It was a Wisconsin game. Then two more over this course. Now, as I've said, Sebastian Janikowski for the Raiders is 275 pounds. He kicks 46-yard field goals that go over the upright.
Yeah.
That would probably be good from 63, 64 yards. He's got that kind of leg. Here's Janikowski. You can tell me whether this is fair or foul. Over the top of the upright.
Yeah.
Would have now, again, from the angle they give you, which is a horrible angle, you don't know when it passed.
Oh.
Over.
Oh.
Directly over? I don't know. 2 feet would have solved that? Look at it.
Yeah.
All right. So that's Janikowski. And then there was Monday Night Football, which we're trying to locate the other day.
Oh my God.
You can go find these things online, possibly. Depends on how much
the NFL wants. Why is it the things that you observe that are reasonable have to always be delayed for an unreasonable period of time? Like, you would think the football commissioner would go, look at that, just that, and go, hey.
I didn't know if that was good or not, so
we need to change that tomorrow. It's going to be tomorrow. But instead, it's going to be 4 years from tomorrow.
And a whole bunch of debates about it.
Yeah.
And Gary said he had them all, so that's why
it's coming up right now.
Okay.
I have to load them in Bentley.
Okay. I'll give Hulu a little love.
Yeah.
Whilst we're at it, Hulu, baby. Who knew? I did. Hulu Plus, thousands of hit TV shows. Anytime, anywhere, you can stream them. You can be on the go. You can put on your smartphone. You can put on your tablet. Whatever you like. Tons of episodes. Great comedies. SNL, Community. Good friend Joel McHale over there. And Modern Family, South Park. $7.99 a month for all the movies you want. Plus original series. Wait a minute, did I make that up? No, they do, yeah. Yeah. I'm not just vamping. I'm talking the truth here, kids. You can binge out on your old favorites. You can catch a movie, whatever you like. Hulu Plus. And, by the way, if you try it, You can try it for free. Just go to HuluPlus.com/ADD. That's HuluPlus.com/ADD. HuluPlus.com/ADD for the extended free trial. All right, Dr. Drew, first Monday night football game of the year. This is last week. First Monday night game of the year. You tell me. Fair foul.
Oh, another one. Exact same spot.
Exactly. All right, that Janikowski's they called good. This one they called.
That one looks even better.
No
looks,
good. Looks but they called it good. No good. Well, it's no good. Drew, what? What? It's every. It is every week now because of the legs these guys have. Why wouldn't it be? There's X amount of games played a week. There's X amount of field goals attempted, and these guys all have enough leg to go over the top of the upright. I have never heard, and I watch NFL Sunday, NFL Monday, NFL wrap-up, NFL pregame, every single NFL show, every single announcer. First things first, I have never heard an announcer at one of these games go, they sit up in the booth and they go, well, that one was no good. And they, no one goes, well, it looked like it went over the pole, so I can't tell. Or maybe they should extend the pole, that way we could tell. It has never, ever come up. Here's, by the way, this week. This is the Saints and the Bucks. I was watching this live.
Same spot. Same exact height. It's
now,
crazy.
That one looked good, but it was there, over the right.
And by the way, who knows if any one of those might have bounced in, which would have been good, right?
Never know, because we can't figure out a way to extend thin wall steel tubing 4 feet.
Impossible.
Drew, I want you to, we'll sew it again. You tell me. I would like, here's what I find very interesting in life, Drew.
Oh, really? This should be good.
I watched this, and I say, well, that looked good, but we'll never know.
Yeah.
And then I have a bunch of dudes in the room with me, and I go, what the fuck? And they go, yeah, I don't know, it wasn't good. And I go, I don't know, I think it was good. And they go, well, the ref says it's not good. And I go, but we'll never know because I want to extend the pole. And they go,
yep.
What if we put one over the top and made it into a square?
That was his thing.
That's what everyone says. And
really?
I go,
that's the weirdest impulse in the world.
Everybody says that. Everybody says that. And I go,
fuck.
Or we could extend the poles.
What a weird impulse to change the entire
thing
of the game.
I want you to look underneath this console here.
Yeah.
And I want you to clink on what is underneath here. Just what is holding this up.
This pole?
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
You know what that is?
That's the same thing that the goalposts are made out of.
That's right. You know where I got it? Up the street. You know
impossible.
What it costs? $1 a foot.
Impossible.
You know what I did? I cut it here with my chop saw.
It's impossible.
And welded it and made these
legs.
It's
impossible. The NFL tells you it's impossible.
Drew, what is it? Are we stupid or are we smart?
No, we don't like to change. We don't like any movement.
I understand.
We don't like forward movement.
I understand. I sound like a maniac. I understand that. But why, first off, why doesn't the kicker who kicks the ball right over the top and gets called no good? And by the way, that's a big deal when you're a kicker.
By the way, that's a really interesting question. Maybe they have something in their head that we don't know.
You miss three field goals in a row and you're out of the league.
No, but Drew. But why aren't they?
You miss three, you're out of the league.
Why don't they report it? Why aren't they the ones complaining?
I don't know why the coach of the team where the Buccaneers, where the ball went over the top and looked good, isn't fucking going, hey, what the fuck? I don't know why the announcers who watch it and go, well, that looked like it sailed right over the top. I don't know why the referees who are going, why are you putting us in this horrible position? We have to look up and people are booing and people are showing it on instant replay saying maybe it was good. Why are you putting us in this position? Why don't you raise the thing?
To be honest, I think this is a microcosm of why you're being driven crazy, why you're slowly losing your mind. Because you see things in your slow motion world and take note and the rest of us just keep going. You know what I'm saying?
I do understand that as it pertains to many things in my personal life.
Everything.
But.
Everything.
This is one of the most profitable organizations.
Everything.
Okay, everything. Understood. These are the smart people. This is not my crazy old nutty neighbor.
If it affected
cunt who lives down the street.
See,
this is a huge business.
What is this really kind of you're talking about?
Old house. This is one of the biggest businesses in the world, and one of these days, a Super Bowl is going to be decided by them not having enough thin wall steel posts to go up.
Yeah, but people that make the big money don't care. This creates controversy, news, good. But you would think the kicker. You would think the kicker whose careers are on the line. You think they would be the ones. So I want to know what they're thinking.
Would you like to see an instance of this happening over 25 years ago to decide who was going to the Super Bowl in the drive?
Okay.
That's right.
This is with the lower poles? Same poles.
Same pole. That's Denver going to the Super Bowl in Cleveland because the ball went directly over the top.
Yeah.
All right. So this is 1986. More than 25 years ago, we have an example of one team going to a Super Bowl and another team who's never yet been to the Super Bowl because of a ball going over the top. More than 25 years ago, Drew.
Yes, I get
this. Happened more than 25 years ago. It propelled one team to the Super Bowl.
Did you notice it back then?
No, I didn't. Somebody pointed out to me when I was complaining about this. So we have an example 25 years ago of this happening.
Yeah.
25 years from now, when 5,000 balls go over the top, when shall we make this retro?
Well, I think now, because we've got the big legs, you're seeing much more of it. I think you're right.
Yes, yes.
So that's why it's more noticeable.
But nothing. We'll do nothing.
Hey, before... All right, okay.
Okay.
Take calls?
Why do I know... Why doesn't everyone...
Because you're going... Here you go. You're going to go insane right now.
Why don't people notice that?
Because you're... Let me take your pulse right now. Give me a hand. Okay, I'm actually taking his pulse. Your pulse is about 55.
Okay.
Okay. Everything's slowed. Your vagal tone is up. You're slowed down. You notice shit. The rest of us, our sympathetic tone overrides that. We're just moving along. We can't see it. It doesn't get in.
Understood. I understood and understand.
Look at Chris. He's like a hummingbird over there.
But the... That's why I used to eat all the time. It's crazy metabolism. So he's sucking my nectar. But what?
Sucking your nectar.
Yeah, he is.
What? Is that code for something?
You know what I'm talking about. You think he got the job because he's competent? Look at him. Here's the thing, though. Yes. Shouldn't the kickers be fucking
privileges around
complaining?
Here, yeah. I wonder what
shouldn't they
worked.
Be complaining? All right, Drew, sell a call. Let's take a quick break.
All right. For medication dealing with long-term depression by withdrawal from meth. That's interesting. Frank, 50.
Right after this.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, we tell you three things we know for sure. One, Homer is Homer. Two, Pluto is a planet. And three, you can't fill up an Escalade. There are no groceries that will do it. Listen to us on iTunes or the free Adam Carolla app. We'll see you here.
Yeah, loving you, baby. Again, if you like what you're hearing, hit the PayPal button, subscribe, show us a little love. We love when we get your love from you, man. We love to love you, baby. All right, Drew. Who? Frank?
Three.
Three? Line three. Yeah. Frank, 50, Washington. Frank?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hello. I had a question for Drew. I'm curious if he's had any experience with medication that might be particularly effective with someone who's experiencing extreme depressive episodes after, I don't want to say caused by withdrawal from meth, because I don't really feel like I'm having withdrawals. I've had severe long-term depression all my life, but I've never hit lows this low as I have after I've quit.
How much meth did you do for how long?
Right.
Over the period of about 12 years, there was, I'd say, a good 10 years of active addiction.
Okay.
Pretty much a 24/7 user while I was using.
How long were you off? Or have you been off?
Right now, it'll be a year in October, excepting for two single-use occurrences.
Okay. So This is not withdrawal. This is the residual effects. Methamphetamine is well known to damage brain in the limbic area, and it's very common for there to be both persistent depressions and persistent short-term memory problems. You're noticing that also, some memory issues?
What was that?
Are you noticing any memory problems, short-term
memory? I
think
he's making a joke.
Yes.
I hope he's making a joke.
No.
Okay.
You know, that's one thing. Even though I would consider a heavy user, I didn't experience a lot of the typical psychological effects that I saw in other people, the paranoia, the hallucinations.
Right.
I never experienced any of that.
I understand. But you are getting the post-meth depressions, which are very common and often associated with memory problems, but not necessarily. In terms of the medication that works best for that, you need to talk to a doctor who has experience treating it, and many physicians do now have the experience because it's such a common thing. In my experience lately, I've been seeing a lot of good results with the so-called dual agents, things like Cymbalta and Dulera, and things that have a couple of different mechanisms of action that are both serotonergic and noradrenergic. So they're hitting the chemistry from two angles because the injury is pretty intense, and so you kind of have to fight fire with fire. You have to fight the injury with a biological agent.
What do you do for a living?
Nothing.
Oh. What are you supposed to do?
Pardon me?
What would you like to do?
I've never been able to answer that question my entire life.
Hold on a second. Let me talk about you.
Yeah.
Man, when I say man, not a woman, but a man.
Yeah.
Not having a calling, you know, not having a career.
Yeah.
Something, even if it's, you know, I have a lot of guys who work for me who don't make a lot of money. We do a lot of building projects. But they're satisfied on Friday. They've done some work. I'm not talking about the pussies that sit in the air conditioning and eat my fucking pretzels.
And
my nectar and pretzels. I'm talking about the guys I build with. Like, come Friday, they look around and they see that the paint they put up, the drywall they put up, the joint compound they've spread out, the floor's done. You know, there's a sense, and I can hear it in them. You know, like, well, I'll go, how's the other studio going? And they go, we did the floor Saturday.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Yeah.
You know, and it's painted, too. And we're looking to put the ceiling tile in on Monday, and then we'll be done. And, like, a certain
pride of, yeah.
Satisfaction, yeah, feeling like, hey, this was just an empty warehouse, and now look at it,
yeah.
You know? And then
creative expression.
People come in and they go, whoa, this place changed a lot since last time I was here. And you can tell these people are proud. Mm. And, you know, getting $20 an hour, $25 an hour, they're not getting rich, but they're happy, they're satisfied. I don't know. I know that's built into guys.
Yes.
And women, some do, some no. Oftentimes comes in the form of a family and kids and a satisfaction in that and other endeavors. But for a guy especially, when I hear, let's put it to you this way. When I hear a woman and she says, you know, full-time mom, or it's, you know, busy with the kids and the family, whatever, I don't go, ooh. You know what I mean? Right. I think that for her husband. But I don't go, ooh. You know?
Yeah.
When I hear about a guy, you know, putzing around or doing whatever, I always think, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we know Mark Geragos. I don't know what his wife does. I'm sure she stays busy. But I don't, if you know, I don't feel like, oh, she's not doing, I'm sure she's doing charity, she's working, I don't know what she's doing. But Mark Geragos has to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. You know, he has to do that. That's his thing. And if he
was a promoter before he was a lawyer. Do you know that?
No.
With K-Rock, a concert promoter.
Sounds perfect.
Sounds
for
right.
Him.
Yeah, right.
And if he wasn't doing that, I'd be like,
Yeah.
And so when I meet guys that go, I don't know, a little this, a little that, thinking about selling RVs. Maybe my brother-in-law's got an RV lot. Thinking about getting into that. Maybe it's. I just go like, I just feel like you need that. As
like
a
it's
guy.
Sad. You feel sad for that guy without not having a real direction or drive.
I just feel like so much of a male's identity is wrapped up
what they do in the world, yeah.
In what they do.
Yes,
and
yes.
Again, it's not about being famous or being rich.
It's
about
doing.
Being famous and rich. No, I know you thought I was going in another direction. No, it's these guys having a sense of, I can do that. I'm good at this. This is my field of expertise.
Listen, it's what fucks up 17-year-old males.
Right.
You know, it's why they all are suppressed and can't date, because they don't feel good about themselves because they have no anything in the world they're doing.
Frankie.
You're making me feel great.
Frankie goes to the unemployment office.
No.
I would like you to find something that you were passionate about.
Well, but it's hard when you're depressed. So first, you got to first deal with the depression.
And you can do it simultaneously, possibly.
Yeah.
Yes.
You did what, Frank?
And I always felt that there was something that I could or would do with my life that would be significant, that would be satisfying, that would be meaningful.
Yeah. Fulfilling. Even, forget about the significant part. Like, just really just satisfying. You know what I mean?
Well,
I mean, honestly,
okay, different words, same thing.
It can be volunteering. It just has to, you have to feel. No, significant and satisfying aren't the same thing. Significant is something that sort of society decides. Satisfying is something that you.
Me.
Oh, well, okay. Significant to you. Well, that changes it. Either way, I'm starting to not like you, Frank. I need you to get on the medication, and I need you to get on a program where you're doing something that's not necessarily grandiose or that important in scale, just something that gives you a sense of, at the end of the day, you've put in some work.
Well, let me,
and you feel glad about what you did.
That's what recovery is. Recovery is living a certain kind of life and being of service to others, so you do build that sense of what's important and significant from a very small core.
Right.
But you then build out into the world.
Yes.
So I would say recovery for Frank would be a great place to start. Go to some NANE meetings, get a sponsor. Pretty soon you start sponsoring people. It's a great way to get a sense of yourself back built up again. I mean, you sound so empty and so alone.
Yes.
It breaks our heart, even though Adam is busting your balls.
Right. All right. Heartbroken, balls
four.
Broken as well. Line four, Chad. Chad, 35, San Diego. What's going on, Chad?
Get it on, Ace Man.
Get it on, Chadsteroo.
Chadster's doing something in the world.
Yeah, Chad, what's going on?
Hey, guys. So actually, I initially had a question about a sexual question, but I'm going to switch it to a sobriety question so my kids can hear this later on.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right?
Hang on. Hold on a second. But I can't – if you're going to ask a sobriety question – I can't help but also comment on the other question you were going to have had that's sitting on my wall here. But go ahead. You ask your sobriety question first.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So I've been sober. I was about a 15-year cokehead / alcoholic, drank whiskey, got addicted to pills, so on and so forth.
Wow.
Got sober about 5 months ago.
Oof.
And had a true, you know, kind of spiritual revelation, yada, 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 where it feels very solid this time, like it's going to stick. And recently my girlfriend, she was also an alcoholic, but, recovering, not nearly as bad as me. I know you're going to hate that, Drew, you know, it's alcoholic, but it's
no, I don't hate anything. What I'm concerned with is how long has she been in sobriety?
Same as me.
How long has she been your girlfriend?
About a year and a half.
Okay. All right.
All right. So we got sober together.
Got it.
Right. Yeah. We went through the real rough part at the end there. Or the heavy use. We went through that together, and then obviously the recovery together.
Right.
Just recently, about a month ago, she proposed to me that she wanted to selectively have a beer here and there, you know, that she could handle it.
Oh, God.
Just on the weekend.
This is why two newbies in recovery are so bad. You'll drag each other down. It's just so bad. Somebody will start going, and you'll convince one another that it's okay, and you'll both go down together.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough.
Which Asian culture is the newbie?
Burmese.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Drew usually doesn't use that kind of slang. I'm going to look the other way. Go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, I actually went to a doctor here in San Diego where, you know, marijuana is essentially legal. And he kind of got me on the replacement therapy program.
Okay, so neither you are sober. Okay, got it. Okay. All right.
Well, yeah, I do use pot, but I don't consider it a drug. I know that's
right.
A great thing.
Chad, anyway, it doesn't matter what you consider. Your judgments about these things don't matter. I can tell you where it's going to go. It's not. This is all going to a bad place. and you're on your way.
Okay.
And the whole what's up there on the wall is you guys want to start swinging. This is all part of the evolution back into your disease, all part of the same.
Okay. What do you recommend?
I recommend you get serious.
Cut everything out? Or I mean, I know for me, cutting the pot out, which I am systematically doing, I've cut down progressively.
Chad, go to meetings, get a sponsor, follow his direction, period. Go to meetings, get a sponsor, follow his direction. That's all you have to do. It's very simple, but it's the last thing you want to do.
You know, the psychological experience, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I love fish and chips.
Mm-hmm.
I never eat fish and chips, ever.
Why?
It's just super fattening, and it's just all grease.
Yeah.
But it's fucking good.
Yes, yes,
and
it
I fucking love it. Yeah. And every time I see it on the menu, I eyeball it for a second and go, man, next time I'm in here, I'm going to order that.
Mm-hmm.
But I never do. But the notion, and I haven't had fish and chips in 10 years, but psychologically, if somebody said, you can never have fish and chips again, I'd start arguing with you.
Right.
I'd go, but I need some. I want some. What if we go up the coast next week? What if I go to England?
But if I said, today, you don't eat fish and chips.
That I would say, okay.
See.
But I think a lot of people feel that way about sobriety and drugs, where they just go, I am not prepared to say that I'm never going to taste another beer.
Don't.
So just today.
Just today.
No fish and chips
today.
That's
why we say for today only. Just today I'm sober.
Right.
One day at a time. Ever heard that saying?
Yeah, I love that show. Barb, take it back. I didn't get the raise. Where there used to be a lot of... Every other sitcom was, I'm going to get a big raise. And then everyone would go on a shopping spree. And then they'd come back and go, take it all back. It was always a great thing because the boss at the like somewhere in the middle of Act 3 would say to Anne Romano, who was the mom, who was Bonnie Franklin, who was a mousy, pasty white, you know, sort of short redhead who was in my 12-year-old view, unattractive, and it took a lot to be unattractive to this 12-year-old. I literally, there'd be that part where it was great, but it was like in the middle of Act 3 where he'd go, you know, you got that raise, right, Ms. Romano? Mm-hmm. Well, I have some Asian businessmen coming into town, and I'm hoping you can make them very happy over the weekend. What?
Yeah.
You know how the game is played, don't you, Anne? And then they'd walk out and shut the door, and then they'd have her looking into a mirror, and then they'd go off, and there'd be some clapping, you know? And then she would never make the decision to suck their cock. I always want to see one sitcom where she's like, I do kind of like the new fur coat I got. I guess I'll suck some cock. No, she'd always come back and go, take it all back. Take it all back. I can't. And then she would tell the boss what he could do.
Right. And, of course, no one ever got any legal consequences for those behaviors. Yeah.
No, but my mom would always like kind of look at me from across the sofa and go, see why I don't get a job?
That's why I don't work.
I don't have to suck off any Japanese businessman with my Chicano studies degree. Be like, see, the boss wants, that's why. He wouldn't give, that's why I give the lady a raise.
Yeah, oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I get it. That's how the game's played.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
What do you got there? Anything?
I did this. You mean this?
Oh,
I did it before you got here.
Didn't even know it, baby.
Yeah.
All right. So what else do you need to know? You subscribe via PayPal. You see me coming up this Saturday in Upland at the Liquorama, baby. I'm going to be signing bottles. And me and Prager's. Dennis Prager, one of the smartest guys
I'm
in the
jealous.
World.
Jealous. How come you go out with him but not with me?
I do.
What the fuck is that?
What do you mean? I just got off the fucking road with you.
That's the fuck?
San Bernardino.
Schedule some more, dude. You're too busy with your movie, which you have not casted me in.
I need actors. San Bernardino Performing Arts Theater coming up this Saturday night as well. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew and Chris Maxpata and Gary Haftart saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.